How many of you already got your list of things that you want to see God do in this new year? I trust since last week, last Sunday, we started this message in Joshua chapter 5 that some of you were shaking in your heart to say, I'm going to believe God for some things. Listen, time's winding down, friends. God's still on the throne. He's just as powerful today as he was yesterday. Same God that rose the dead and gave sight to the blind and parted the Red Sea can do it in our lives. And I want to see the Lord do some great things in this upcoming year. Amazing Grace, that's not my outline. Are you wanting us to sing or what you want to do here? Joshua chapter 5. We're going to be looking at chapter 5, chapter 6. This is really a continuation of the message started last Sunday. Let me say this while you're turning. Any men that are still interested in going to the prayer advance, you can still go on Christ Life Men. That's ChristLifeMIN.org and register. It's $109 to register for the prayer advance. We still have rooms available, but that's going to stop on Tuesday. We have to call the hotel and give up the rooms that we're not going to be using, but that's still available. It's probably going to be the largest men's prayer advance that we've ever had. David Gibbs from Christian Law Association out of Florida is going to be speaking. If you've ever heard David Gibbs, he's a preacher. He's not only a lawyer, but he's a preacher. And other men, Les Olala, that's going to be there. Some powerful men that are going to be speaking this year and looking forward to a great year. So I would challenge you, if you haven't signed up, please do so. And let me know if you're planning on going and you want to utilize the hotel rooms. We've still got some, so please let us know. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Continue to pray for Miss Ruth. Went by to see her yesterday. She's in a lot of pain, but she's tough. She's got a long ways to go, but you pray for her and for the family. I know they got a lot on them with her being there. She's been such a mainstay in cooking breakfast and taking care of all of them. So the tables have turned, but please remember to lift her in prayer if you will. Father, we thank you for the great opportunity to be in this place today. God's fun to be in church. Thank you that we can come here as family and believe you to work in our hearts. Lord, this preacher needs work. And so I'm thankful, Lord, that as we position ourselves before you, that we can trust you above all to do something for us we cannot do for ourselves. Thank you for the power of the word. Thank you, Lord, that as on the brink of a new year, that God, we can believe you to do some things this year we've never seen before. And Lord, may we see those things happen before we take our last breath. We thank you for the gift of new life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the young couples here. And we lift them before your throne. And we pray for them today that you'll make them strong in spirit, that you'll supply their needs. God, you'll give them a sense of urgency in their heart and direction in their life. And you'll bless them. We thank you for our middle-agers and our seniors. And we thank you for the babies and the children and the teenagers and all the people that you give to us here in this church. That, God, we might minister, we might encourage and strengthen. That, God, we might see ourselves as a family that's moving forward for the cause of Christ. And, Lord, we all represent people here today that need to be saved. And, Lord, we get excited about babies being born in our fellowship, but more than anything, we want to see some spiritual babies being birthed around here. That, God, we'll hear those cries of a newborn spiritual baby, that God, as they walk through this demon-infested world, that you give us the privilege to come up alongside of them and encourage them and strengthen them in the Lord. God, we thank you for the great things you're doing. We do pray for our president today that, God, you'll make him strong in spirit. I pray, Lord, that he'd be drawn to the word and be drawn to the place of prayer, that his knee and his heart would be bent before you, that he would understand that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and that, God, you would orchestrate and ordain those things that need to be done. Thank you for his courage. Thank you for the boldness you give to him. God, give him balance. Lord, he says some things sometime that's pretty much out of kilter, but I'm going to believe you, Lord, to so fine-tune his heart that, God, you will be honored and glorified. Lord, it's exciting this year to hear Jesus being lifted up at that inauguration. And so, God, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you do. May you save somebody today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. On the brink of a miracle, and I trust that you are believing God for something supernatural. One of my biggest concerns, even in my own life, is that I drop down to that level of just being status quo, like just it's going to be the same old all the time. It doesn't have to be that way. And I get greatly encouraged as I read through the scriptures that God still has that ability to do some things that were far beyond my comprehension. And that's what you got to set your sights on. You got to focus your attention on him and believe him. And you say, preacher, I don't have it in my heart. Well, ask him to give it to you. He wants you to have that. He wants you to believe him for greater things in the days to come. We don't have to drop down in the mully gubs and grubs and exist in this old world and act like the world does. Man, we got something to shout about. Amen? Well, thank God two of you said something. I'm glad of that. Woo. All right, let's move on. Everyone, y'all got a big meal planned for this afternoon because I think some of you got your mind somewhere else. But anyway, we're going to stay here as long as God wants us to. If you have to leave, go ahead. Amen. What are the challenges to face? Well, children of Israel, they're on the brink of seeing God do something supernatural. But there's some things you got to wade through. There's some things that you got to face. There's some barriers you got to break through. Last week when we picked up in the scripture, they'd already moved through the Jordan River on dry ground, may I remind you, that God just parted the waters for them. And if he did it for them, why can't he do it for us? What Jordan is it in your life today where God needs to supernaturally part the waters for you? And I think so many times we don't think along those lines. You know, we talk about building a new building and we say, well, it's going to cost $1.5, $2 million or $1.7, you know, and people are like, how in the world are we going to pay for it? I don't know. And I said that last week. But cannot we believe God to do that? I mean, doesn't the scripture tell us that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and that he's supernatural? And yes, that's a Jordan River that we're staring at. It's a great big old Red Sea. But just like God parted the waters in both of those situations, he can do it for us. And trust him for somebody. We all represent people here today that are lost and need to be saved. God wants to work through us. Some of us are looking at financial situations, and God, we need a miracle if this thing's going to work out. If we're going to move forward, if we're going to accomplish this, we're going to do this. I want to see people being saved. I'm thankful for these little babies, but God, give us some little spiritual babies around here. Some of us need that shot in the arm as far as evangelism is concerned. Are you trusting God to give you people to witness to this year? One man said, listen, I'm trusting God for one soul every single day. I wish you could hear his testimony. Remember that black guy at the prayer advance? You know what? God gave him a soul every day. 365 people that he led to Christ because he was willing to trust God to do something supernatural, and he put himself in the way of people. He said, the greatest place for me to witness was Walmart. He said, I didn't have to be outside, whether it was cold, raining, snowing, whatever. I just walked through the store at Walmart. That was my place of evangelism. And I said, he said, I want somebody to Christ every single day. Well, Lord, that's great. But how many of us are believing, God, give me just one soul this year? Lord, I'm trusting you're going to change my home. I'm trusting you're going to put a marriage back together. I'm trusting God you're going to break my cold, rocky heart. What are you believing God to do in your life this year? They were on the brink of seeing God do something supernatural, and God put them right between the Jordan River and Jericho. You know what, friends? If we're going to cross over that Jordan River, and we are, if we're going to see those things happen that only God can do, there are going to be some resources that God's going to have to deal with. Some things that we're going to have to break through. Some of those areas of comfort that we enjoy, we're going to have to give up. I mean, if they wanted to get into Canaan, a land that flowed with milk and honey, they had to go through the Jordan River. They'd already been through that, but there was something a whole lot bigger than the Jordan River sitting in front of them, and that was Jericho. Not only were the resources going to be dealt with, but there was no option to retreat. You got to burn some bridges behind you sometimes. Some things we just got to stop. Some things that we just cannot continue to do because it's advantageous. I mean, it's a detriment to you and I moving forward. What are some things you need to get out of your life? Thirdly, resistance going to come. Mark it down. Jericho was a fortified city. They were going to have to fight hell. Listen, you might have to fight hell by the inch. Hey, these ladies in here that had these little babies, And God bless you, ladies. God knows there ain't no way in the world, not only physically I couldn't have a baby, but I couldn't handle that pain. I get a splinter in my finger, and I'm ready to go to the doctor and get some medication or either cut my finger off or do something. And to see women go through that birthing process and bear that little baby into this world through blood, sweat, and tears, I admire you. You're more of a man than I ever thought about being. So it's not going to be easy, friends. Somebody was mentioning this morning that sometimes it's by the way of death that we have to come to that place to say, God, if it means my life, have at it. If it means my life being taken and me have to go through a time of suffering in my life for people to see Jesus in me, then so be it. Because I want my life to count for something. They had fought through going through the Jordan, and God made it easy for them, but yet there was still a Jericho in front of them that had to be destroyed if they were ever going to get into Canaan. And God had already given them many promises that he was going to give them a land that flowed with milk and honey. And there are going to be responsibilities that you're going to have to embrace. This particular generation had never been circumcised in all the males. And there was a covenant, a symbolism there with God of purity in their lives and an agreement between them and the Lord. The generation that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness, but this was the generation that came from that particular generation. They murmured and griped and complained, that first generation, and God said, you're not going to have what I've got for you because you're constantly fighting against me and you've got a wicked heart of unbelief. You're not going to get what I've got for you. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And the ones that were birthed out of that generation had to be circumcised if they were going on with God, which was symbolic of the flesh being cut away. That there are things that we have to set aside, that we've got to deal with in our life that are just flat out flesh. What's your greatest hindrance in life in being what you need to be for Christ's sake? And I'm so excited to be able to admit the fact here this morning that none of us in this room have arrived. There might be some of you that think you have. I hate to pop your bubble, but you haven't. This preacher included. I don't know about you, but I'm still under construction. Got a long ways to go. We all do. And there's always a deeper depth to die. There's always something that I've got to deal with in my life. God was cutting away at a spirit of rebellion. He was cutting away at a spirit of pride. He was cutting away at a spirit of unbelief. Listen, pride's not going to help you one iota, friends, if you got a Jericho in front of you. That wall in some parts of it was 20 to 26 feet. At the base of it was 6 foot wide in places. And if they were going to see and get in on what God had for them, they had to see that wall being destroyed. What is it, the thing in your life that keeps you, that hinders you from getting into what God wants for you? How many of you in this room have got a hunger in your heart to see God do something supernatural? And when I say those things, it just resonates with who you are and what you are, and you're hungry for that. You're willing to face yourself in this new year and deal with those areas of inconsistency and that pride and that fear and that unbelief to say, preacher, by God's grace, I'm going to see something in this year. Sadly to say, most Christians are not believing God for anything. And then they come up to the end of the year and wonder why they haven't seen anything. Well, if you're not believing him for anything, then what's going to happen? God wants us to stand on his word and trust him. And so then we move into the second point, not only the challenges to face, but secondly, the confrontations to embrace. What do we got to do in this new year? Well, look what the scripture says in Joshua chapter 5 in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he's standing in front of it, already crossed the Jordan River, he's standing in front of Jericho, and the scripture said he lifted up his eyes and looked. And the Bible says there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? The Bible says this was a captain of the host. This was a Christophany in the Old Testament. This was appearance of Christ. I like the fact that the Bible says that he already had the sword drawn in his hand, which tells me this, friends, that Jesus is already ready for the battle. Whatever I face in life, you know what? He is already armed, cocked, and ready to do business with the enemy. When you and I think about the confrontations that we've got to embrace, there's the manifestation of God as an advocate. What's the first thing we do when we're opposed in life? We try to come up with a plan. How can I get out of this? What can I do to get free of this? What's wrong with that? Okay, you got to go through it. What's wrong with that? Right. Who am I looking to be the resource in my battles of life? And recognizing that God avails himself to you and I constantly. You say, preacher, I got a physical battle that I'm facing in this new year. Well, hallelujah. Preacher, I'm having marital problems. Well, hallelujah. My kids acting like the devil. Well, hallelujah. God's kids did too. We got battles on every hand. We got this, we got that. All those things are negative, and that's true. We got a whole lot of that going on in our country. But you know what, friends? God's ready for the battle. He's ready. The thing that we've got to do is be willing to embrace the manifestation of God's advocate. In other words, if focusing on the problem all the time and all the negatives not going to happen, it's not going to help your situation or mine. Sometimes those things are self-inflicted, but sometimes they're God-ordained. That God will bring things to your life and my life to get us to a place where the only thing that we can do is set our focus on him and trust him to do something supernatural, or either we're going to fold up like an accordion and quit. Well, preacher, I show up to church every Sunday morning, but yeah, but what's going on in your heart? Just because you come sit on the premises, man, doesn't mean you're standing on the promises. What is that thing in your life that's bigger than life, that looks like an obstacle, that there is no way to go over it, no way to go around it, no possibility of going through it? The door is shut behind you. And I got this thing in front of me, so I'm going to try to figure it out some way. We got to embrace God's advocate. In other words, we got to be willing to come in on his terms. And that's exactly what Joshua was willing to do, because he stood before him, the captain of the host. The scripture says in verse 14, and he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and made him and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy feet from off the shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Sadly to say, many times we want the plan before we're willing to make the move. You see, the beautiful thing about the story here is that Joshua was willing to embrace the manifestation of God and God's advocate. And that's all he had to do. First and foremost, how many of us this morning saying, Lord, I'm facing something this year that's astronomical. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know how it's going to change. Instead of trying to figure it out, would you be willing to come in on God's terms and say, Lord, I'm going to embrace you, because you are my advocate. You're my go-between. Do you realize that some of the things that we're facing in this new year have been ordained of God and given to you personally? Because he's wanting to teach you something about yourself. He's wanting to teach you something about himself. He's wanting to teach you and I something about the power of the enemy. And he wants us to enjoy the fat of the land and the beauty of victory. You see, the confrontations that we have to embrace, number one, the manifestation of God's advocate, but secondly, the recognition of God's attribute. Oh, man. Man, isn't it a blessing to know God? And isn't it a blessing to be known of him? To know that no matter what I face in my life, he's big enough to handle it. Joshua said, I'm standing in front of that Jericho, and I've got the captain of the host standing with the sword drawn in his hand. I don't need to worry about anything anymore. How many of you worry to death about something this year? How many of you are worried? Preacher, thank God to give me two extra days this year. It ain't going to be April 15th. It's going to be April 17th. Hallelujah. Tax time. Well, we all hate that, don't we? What are you facing physically? And if some of us sitting here this morning say, "Preacher, I'm just kind of existing on planet Earth," I'm praying God's going to shake you out of that comfort zone. And I want to see the Lord do something that has the earmark of God all over it. I'm thankful that Joshua had that kind of fire in his bones, aren't you? You see, God had the man Moses come along, but as soon as Moses died, God always has his man. And Joshua had a fire in his heart to take the children of Israel and lead them somewhere that Moses never saw them go. And that is to see them get into Canaan. There's a recognition of God's attribute. He recognized and acknowledged him as Lord by his response. Because what does the scripture say that he did? He fell on his face before God. The problem with you and I many times is we have a big man mentality. And we think that God needs our help. And we think we need to tell him how to do it. Now, Lord, I got this problem, but in the midst of me having this problem, let me tell you what you need to do in order to help me to get out of it. How many times have you ever given God a report? How many in this room know yourself better than God knows you? Could I see your hands? But do we live our lives like that? You ever given a God a report sometimes like, just in case you want to know, Lord? You ever done that? In case you didn't know what was going on in my life, Lord, here's my report. Did Joshua do that? No, there was a manifestation of God's advocate that he embraced. There was also an embracing of God's attributes that he knew that the door had closed behind him in Jordan, and there's that Jericho sitting in front of him, and the only way that he's going to get into land that flowed with milk and honey is to see that Jericho being destroyed and somehow another being removed in his life. But he didn't go to God with a plan. He went to God in worship. You know what, friends? Our work should be a byproduct of our worship. My Bible tells me that I'm to love him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and everything within me. My scripture tells me that if I love God and keep his commandments, he'll give me the desires of my heart. The scripture tells me the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. I think that's all the more reason for you and I to keep our spiritual nose clean and walk in obedience to the Lord. That we might see him do some things in our lifetime that are supernatural. Preacher, you talk about that all the time. Yeah, I do, because I want to see it. Why shouldn't I want to see it? Man, doesn't that light your fuse and make you hungry and thirsty that we serve a God that has the ability to do anything? And yet we worry ourselves to death and chew our fingers down to the quick. Like, God just can't handle what I'm going through. Yeah, he can. But he put us in those situations or allows them to come to our life that we might get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes focused on him. And Joshua fell on his face before the Lord in great worship. He wasn't talking about Jericho, he's talking about God. That's where his focus was. And many times we're so focused on all our problems, we don't see God for who he is. Thirdly, there's a submission to God's authority as he fell down in worship. Not only did he fall down in worship, but he rose up in work. And that's where you get your marching orders. Now, Will, when you're in the military, when the man told you what had to be done, did you have the option to say, "Well, I might get around to that"? No. Other men in here that were in the military, if they told you to clean your room up and they wanted that bed that you were sleeping in, they wanted it perfect, did you have an option in that? You better be popping a cord off the top of that thing. It better be tight. You better be tight. Everything ought to be straight. You know, Jared goes to Hargrave. And he has a room in Hargrave, and he has to wear uniforms. I'm like, you can do it up there, you can do it here, son. Amen. Amen. You think that sergeant's rough? Wait till I get finished with you. Hey, listen, those things are good in our lives, friends. But out of our worship should come a desire and a plan, a game plan to go out and do something. So many times we don't listen to what God's trying to say to us because in all honesty, we're many times not willing to pay the price or suffer through the battles to see those things. Well, preacher, I'd spend more time with so-and-so, but it's going to cost me something. What doesn't cost in life? Life is expensive. I've always told my kids, you know, I got something free. I said, it ain't free. Nothing's free. Only thing free is salvation. But yet he submitted to God's authority, and that's what we struggle with sometimes. Maybe we had a rough upbringing, and you didn't trust your parents, and you didn't want to submit to authority because you were rebellious and defiant in your heart. Maybe that's carried over into your Christian life, and you don't like God telling you what to do. I don't like nobody telling me what to do. Well, I've come to understand that's just kind of life. And can I tell you something? If you're going to make it in this Christian world and see God do something supernatural and perform some miracles in your life, you're going to have to get over that. And you're going to have to let God tell you what to do because he's in charge. Look in chapter 6, the scripture said, now Jericho was straightly up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of Ai. God gave him a promise, which takes us to the next point. There's a revelation of God's activity. I believe that you and I can live so close to God and our walk in that relationship with him that God can give us insight into the things that he wants to do and is going to do in our lives. You and I as Christians ought to be getting promises just like this on a consistent basis where God pulls us aside into the quiet time that God says, let me give you a little insight as to what I'm up to, because the scripture says that he will share his secrets with those that walk in fear of him. Has God given you some tidbits from the Word? Has he given you some light according to the Scripture that you can look into the future and say, listen, by God's grace, whether I see it in my lifetime or not, it's a done deal in my heart because God's given me a promise. You know what, friends? Joshua could look at Jericho and not be scared to death and worry himself crazy because God said, listen, it's already done, son. He didn't know how it was going to take place. But you know what? There was a revelation of God's activity. What's God doing in your life? I'm not doing anything. Well, maybe he is, and you just don't see it. You know, the scripture verifies the fact that God's always at work around us. And he's seeking a love relationship with us. Well, I'm not where I should be. Well, that's very true. But God hadn't moved. Just because you and I are not giving him the allegiance that we need to give and doing what we need to do doesn't mean that God's not doing something in our lives. And I've learned many times over 40 years that if God is doing something around us, which he is, that he's not going to show me everything that he's up to. Because you know how we are. We take credit for it. And we're coming to understand that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That I am your all in all. There's a revelation of God's activity. And in that, there's the promise that God's going to give to him Jericho. And then there's a plan in chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. God said, okay, Jericho, this is the deal. We're going to see the walls come down. This is what you're going to have to do. For 6 days, I want you to get everybody together, get all the troops, get the band, get the ark, get everything together for 6 days. Every day, one time, every day, I want you to take a trip around Jericho. Now, notice according to Scripture, Joshua didn't get any committees together. Joshua didn't meet and say, well, listen, we need to get a committee together on how we're going to march around Jericho. When you read through those verses, you know what he did? He got all the people together. He got the trumpet blower. And man, they hit the trail there every morning. They walk around Jericho once for 6 days. Then he said, on the seventh day, I want you to get all the troops together, get your horns. And I want you to go around. And I want you to go around seven times. How many Baptists, this is stupid. Man, my knee hurts. My back hurts. I'm hungry. When are we going to get back? Is it 12 o'clock yet? Who's in charge? I don't like what we're doing. When's this going to stop? God brought us out here to kill us. I don't see any of that. Look what the scripture says in verse 18, chapter 6, and ye in many wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and you make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass. The scripture says, God told them, said, listen, on the last day, the last trip, I want everybody to shout. You know how we would have been wanting to do that maybe one of those other days. Well, ain't anybody going to tell me what to do. I shout when I want to shout. No, God said, this is the plan. Once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to take seven trips around. That last round, the last time around, I want you to blow the trumpets, and I want you to shout. Look what the scripture says. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down. And the scripture said it just didn't fall down. The Bible says it fell down flat. I like it. Which in the confrontations that we should embrace, there's an appropriation of God's arsenal. You know what disgusts me about myself? Is I think so small. And I dream so little. Look at the last verse in chapter 6, what the scripture says in verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. You know what, friends? God wants to do something supernatural through you and I that he might get glory to himself. And I sit around in my little pygmy world that sometimes my spirituality is about as knee high as a grasshopper. And I'm licking all my wounds and telling God all my reports and giving him all my woes. He said, son, I don't know what you're whining and griping about. Because you have something supernatural at your disposal with a captain of the host with a sword drawn in his hand that's ready to do battle for you. And you live in such a small world. And you know what? When I hear those words and I read that chapter, those two chapters, I feel like a dog. And God's given us a brand new year. And we prayed hard for a new president, somebody that would bring glory and honor to God. He ain't perfect. And I'm not worshiping the man because I know who's in charge. Amen. You say, where was God in those 8 years of, and those other years with the Clintons and all the others? And hey, listen, God's in charge. He's more in charge of you than I could ever imagine. But what do you believe in the Lord for? When I was pastoring in Tennessee, I learned a long time ago, you know, when you got three kids in the house and if you're going to be a pastor, you got to get to church early by yourself. So I'd do everything I could on Saturday night to help Holly get the kids ready. And I was at the church by 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. We said, well, why don't you do that now? Listen, I'm always at the church. Amen? I hardly ever leave. I'm always here. But I got to the church one Sunday morning, and I had just one of them Sundays like I'm just like fired up. I was like, Man, I'd like to see lightning bolts come out of heaven. I like some Red Seas to be parted. I like to see God do something supernatural. And I remember pulling that parking lot and it was dark. And I pulled up in that parking lot and pulled up beside that door. And a song came on the radio about Joshua and Jericho. And I sat there and listened to that thing and it kind of got my spiritual battery charged. And I said, man, that's cool. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God said, I want you to do that this morning around this church. What? This is a true story. God, strike me dead if I'm lying. Now I'm sitting in that car and I'm like, you want me to do what? I want you to go around this church 13 times and trust me to do something supernatural today. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to get locked up. It's dark. Police go through here all the time. And somebody see me riding around this church, think, man, some drunk up there, some crazy man up there going around the church and call the police on me. And then I didn't hear anything. So I knew, okay, Lord, here we go. I shot that thing in park. I started going around that church first time. I cut my lights off, you know, and I'm ducking down this deep. I said, that's just going to work and make the situation worse, because if the police see me going around the church with no lights on, then they are going to suspect something. So I cut the lights back on. I went around once. I went around twice. I'm kind of coming up out of the seat a little bit more because I'm thinking, man, this thing's going to be over with in a little bit. And it was kind of embarrassing, even though nobody was around. If I'd see a car coming, I'd slam on brakes, you know, wait till they got by, and then I'd take off. And you might be sitting there saying, you're a stupid preacher, but I'm going to tell you what, by the time it was over with, I had a blast. Man, I got in about that sixth time, and it was kind of setting in my heart, you know, that's the truth. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. And I wasn't blowing trumpets, but there was a song on the radio, and then came Victory in Jesus. Man, I took off on that seventh time, and 8, 9, 10, came around there on the 11th time. I had the windows down. By the time I rolled around the 13th time, I was singing at the top of my lungs, shouting like a crazy man. You know what? I got parked up there and went in that church, and buddy, it was like, I don't. It didn't mean anything to anybody else. But six people got saved that Sunday morning. And God taught me something in that moment. Son, it don't have to make sense to people. If it makes sense to me, then just go do it. And sadly to say that many of us in this Christian life have missed the opportunities to see God do something supernatural because we know better than God. And we're not willing to come in on his terms. Not willing to worship him as Lord. Listen, until you get your spiritual eyesight where it needs to be, friends, where you see yourself small in a big old world and see God bigger than the world we live in, you're going to live in the shadows of something supernatural. And I'm not standing here saying I've arrived. But I can tell you this, friends. I do recognize today that I need to get smaller and smaller and lower and lower and lower if I'm going to see God do what he's done before. And thank God that Joshua had enough smarts about him to get small enough and low enough that he might see those walls of Jericho flat. And the scripture goes on to say that the children of Israel, Joshua led them on into Canaan. Are you going to get into Canaan before you die? Are you going to see God do something supernatural? Are there people sitting here today who say, preacher, to be honest with you, I'm not believing God for anything, but I really do need to be. And I do need God to do a spiritual overhaul in my heart and get my eyesight right. Because my focus is totally out of kilter. Because I think many times I'm advantageous to God's kingdom. I'm telling you what, friends, he doesn't need us. He doesn't. And some might need to hit the altar today and say, God, make me small, make me low. But God, give me a heart to believe you to do something supernatural because I really want to see it. a hunger deep down in my heart that something is going to change in my life in this new year.